OutKick founder Clay Travis with us now on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. What's up, Clay? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thanks a lot. We were just digging through the potential kick times for college football because it's what we do in May. Alabama, Texas is going to be on Fox. Fox likes to put their game at 11 a.m., as you well know, Clay. And a lot of Alabama fans don't want to play at 11 a.m. You know, SEC fans kind of hate that time slot because it feels like the old JP slot. But you work, for Fox. They've had tremendous success in that time slot. It only makes sense that's where they would put Bama and Texas.
Bro, it's going to be a noon Eastern kick, 11 a.m. Central. I would be stunned beyond belief if that's not when that game is going to air. So, you know, they'll have the big noon kickoff with the crew that they have. I would imagine broadcasting live from Texas, campus. And then that game will go right into kickoff. And look, I understand. I mean, I wrote an article a long time ago making fun of the JP kickoff. But as I get older, I have way less of an issue with early kickoff games. You know, I really just have come to not mind it at all, because it's kind of not that much fun to sit around all day, at least when your kids are getting you up at 6 a.m. And I've obviously spent a lot of time on the West Coast in college football seasons over the last decade, so I've gotten used to, hey, you roll out of bed at 8 a.m. And first game kicks off at 9 a.m. on the West Coast. So for a long time, and I know you guys remember these conversations too, college football fans would complain because they would put all the best games on at the same time, right? There'd be like four primetime games, and you'd sit back and say, man, well, I got to flip around. I got to have multiple televisions. Every game's kicking off at 6:30 that I'm really interested in watching, whatever it might be. I kind of like the way that good games are spaced out now. So you've got the 11 a.m. Central kick that tends to be a really, really good game. And then you roll into, the SEC game of the week on CBS right about time that ends. And then you've got the evening game. So I understand Alabama fans complaining. I would say one thing is, 11 a.m. kick is better than a 2:30 kick in terms of how hot it's likely to be on September 10th in Austin. So at least you'll avoid some of the crazy heat of the day. I would say just fluidate and be ready to have a good time.
Clay, there is a chance that Jordan Addison, your reigning Biletnikoff winner, will play in this game for Texas or Alabama. I know USC's kind of the leader.
Is that really true? I thought it was SC. I hadn't seen the update.
Well, USC, there's a rumor that he might be visiting Alabama. I heard a Texas insider today say that Texas is ready to match or exceed the $3 million that USC was going to pay him in NIL. It is amazing. But the thing I would ask you, if you're Jordan Addison, you've already kind of solidified your draft stock as a first-round guy. I mean, they know this guy is legitimate. And if you have the opportunity to go to Texas, to USC, or Alabama, where are you going?
I would go wherever I thought the best quarterback was. And so to me, that's Alabama. Right. And I would look at what Jameson Williams did last year in terms of making himself a bona fide first rounder. I mean, underrated, Jalen Waddle, Jerry Jeudy, Devontae Smith. I mean, we can run through a list of Alabama wide receivers that have really impressed. You know that you've got a quarterback who's going to be able to get you the ball, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who's going to be probably the number, one, two, three. We'll just see how exactly it shakes out, but one of the top picks. And so, I would be inclined to go wherever I could maximize my future value. And I think these kids have to be smart about that. Because whatever you make by and large in college football NIL, and, congratulations to them for getting it, is still a pinprick of what you would potentially make if you become a successful NFL player. The goal is not to maximize earnings when you're 20. The goal is to maximize earnings by the time you're 33 or 34 and have had a long NFL career. So if I were, Jordan Addison called me and asked my advice, I would say, don't get into a tit for tat where you're like, well, this guy's offering me $250,000 more. I can get 2.5 here. Or I can get 3.1 here. Look, those numbers can seem significant when you are looking at them and you're coming from not a lot. But you got to play the long game here. And the long game is maximize your ability to be as high of a draft pick as possible to maximize your dollars in the NFL. Because whatever you make in college, it should be an appetizer, not the main course.
We live in a world and we are a generation that saw O.J. Simpson, a Pro Football Hall of Famer and a Heisman Trophy winner, go through what he went through and the fall of his career and his legacy. Great story at ESPN.com and several other places on Phil Mickelson this week. The difference 12 months can make in someone's life. Are you surprised? Are you following Phil Mickelson and what he does next in what is being termed as one of the greatest falls in sports history?
I guess, what am I missing about, Phil Mickelson's great fall? He didn't murder somebody. He didn't, so far as I know, his life in terms of his private life has not fallen completely out of control. His wife didn't attack him with a golf club. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, based on all the stories, has been that he tried to maximize as much money as he could make by negotiating with Saudi Arabia, and that he may have a high-end gambling problem. Is there something else out there that I'm missing?
No, no. What I think is at play here, Clay, is because Augusta went out of their way to say, we did not uninvite him. We tried to at least have some dialogue with him about him playing. The PGA of America has said, we were open to Phil playing. Phil made this choice on his own. I don't think at least the majors, now maybe the PGA Tour, because that's who we could have really upset here, but I don't think the majors really are pushing him away. I think what's at play here is he doesn't want to go have to sit in front of the media at these events. Skipping these events is keeping him from answering potentially difficult questions.
Yeah, but I don't even think the questions, maybe I'm just crazy, but I don't even think the questions are that difficult. Look, I understand you can be upset with somebody for negotiating with Saudi Arabia because of Saudi Arabia's history of human rights violations. But, let me take a step back. I don't begrudge any capitalistic organization or capitalistic individual for trying to maximize their earnings in what could be a limited window to do so. So long as you are not lecturing me on your politics and then doing the opposite as soon as it makes you money, I don't really begrudge anybody for making decisions so long as they are legal under American law that maximize their revenue, even if that means that you have to negotiate with countries that otherwise you would disagree with. Let me give you an example. I don't have any issue with the WWE. I'm a WWE shareholder. The WWE puts on, and I know, probably a lot of your listeners and viewers and whatnot have been to WWE events over the years. They do events sometimes in Saudi Arabia. I'm sure that the WWE executives don't agree with every decision that's being made in Saudi Arabia as it pertains to human rights or even the behavior of the people who are running that country. But the WWE isn't wagging their finger at me telling me I'm an awful person because I don't have the same opinions that they do on politics. So I don't begrudge the WWE going and making money there. To my knowledge, Phil Mickelson has never lectured the American public on what our political opinions should be. I don't even know what his political opinions are on anything. So I don't begrudge him going and deciding that he wants to make the most money that he can by negotiating to potentially create a competitor for the PGA Tour. So I don't really think he has anything to apologize for. Unless there's some dark secrets that are out there that I haven't seen so far, trying to make as much money as possible while you're an athlete and simultaneously maybe spending money, whether it's gambling or in your lifestyle, in a somewhat frivolous manner. if that's the standard, there are an awful lot of athletes and celebrities and people in general who have, made poor financial choices. So I would, I don't know who's advising Phil Mickelson. And sometimes that's part of the problem is who you're talking to. But I would tell him to just own it. Just sit down and say, look, my goal was to maximize revenue. I think that's what everybody should do, whether it's, and look, you can point to, that our iPhones get made in China. As long as Apple doesn't lecture me on what I should believe politically. I don't really care where they locate and source their products. It's people like the NBA who are wagging their fingers at the Americans and their players and all the social justice warrioring, and then they're going to the United Arab Emirates to play games because of the money there. But you can be executed for being gay, and you pulled the All-Star game out of Charlotte over a transgender bathroom bill. Well, that hypocrisy deserves to be called out, but it's the hypocrisy, not the pursuit of money.
Clay Travis on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. And I'm with you. I think Mickelson has overreacted to this personally. But I also wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibility that his biggest fear is the fact that he's admitting that he has used a regime that has been known to behead a journalist for leverage. And I just don't know if he may be fearful of their reaction to that, which maybe he's got every right to be fearful of that.
Well, I didn't think about whether Saudi Arabia might be angry at him. But, I think the odds of Saudi Arabia trying to take out Phil Mickelson are
pretty low. I think they've probably got bigger targets, yes.
Although that'd be a hell of a 30 for 30 one day if Phil ended up on the run from the Saudis. I don't know necessarily that I'd be suggesting that he, spend the next family vacation in Riyadh. But as long as he's hanging out in Europe or the United States or Australia or, many of the places that he goes, I think he'd probably be fine. But I just I think he's done a poor job of defending himself. I think there's been a pile on. And I think somebody's got to look. One of the benefits, like for what I do, I feel like I could do a lot of PR for people, is when you've been through as many fires over the years as I am, your first response is not, oh, my God, what do I do? It's like, this is going to be over in 24 hours. You have to really, let me tell you, screw up for a story to last more than 24 hours. And I think a lot of times in that 24 hours, there's a panic. And sometimes the people that you're paying to advise you, I mean, I think there are a lot of idiots in public relations who don't really understand how to handle so-called controversy. Because I think you're seeing right now with Elon Musk trying to buy Twitter, so much of Twitter manufactured outrage is just bad. It's not real. There's all these bots, there's these losers out there who have entire bot armies that they try to, turn on to people and say, oh my God, can you believe this person said that? And if you wait 24 hours, it pretty much goes away and there's a new controversy. So I O.J. Simpson, double murder, okay, that's kind of hard to walk away from. Tiger Woods, I mean, thankfully I've never been in this situation. But I think when your wife attacks you with a golf club, that's probably pretty hard to get your life back in order. But Phil Mickelson trying to maximize revenue by negotiating with Saudis, I just really don't see a major issue with that.
With the reports yesterday that Jack Nicklaus turned down $100 million from the Saudis to be the face of this new invitational, any surprise there at all?
I just don't know the details associated with what is required. Like, I'm not knowledgeable enough about the business side of what the Saudis are trying to do. And so it's hard for me to analyze that somewhat. And also, I don't know what they wanted Jack Nicklaus to do.
Well, for Greg Norman, he's just taking a public beating.
Yeah,
right?
Greg Norman has ruined his public image, but he's probably ruined it for $100 million, you would have to assume.
I think that also tells you how much money Jack Nicklaus has.
I don't think Greg's which is interesting.
I don't understand why this is so controversial, I guess. I mean, we've had, and take it out of the world of golf. I mean, soccer league sold their rights for years to, what is it, like BEIN Sports, which I think is a Middle Eastern owned sports network.
I think Al Jazeera owned it. I think it was their sports brand. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically, so every sports league in America, to my knowledge, took money from BEIN or bid them out against other people, right? Like, hey, this is one of the people that's sitting at the table that's potentially negotiating for the rights. I mean, I don't have, like, if I own the UFC, would I have any issue at all with bidding out UFC 280 or whatever it is to Saudi Arabia versus Australia versus England versus the United States? No. And so I really am struggling to understand why this is considered to be such a big deal. And if it is, why is the NBA going to the UAE to play games, just getting a total pass? Because remember, Phil Mickelson didn't even enter into an agreement with them. He just negotiated with them. And so I just really don't understand all of this controversy surrounding golf. And you know, the competing interests of the PGA. I understand why the PGA would want to, and maybe that's the underhanded story here, is that the PGA has got a lot of allies in the media and wants to destroy a competitor. And there are frankly not a lot of people who are smart enough in sports media to look at the facts and understand what's going on. I don't know. But based on all the details that I have seen, I don't understand how this isn't how this is such a controversial thing to do. I mean, look, the World Cup is in Qatar, right? I mean, FIFA sold the World Cup to Russia, which is a kleptocracy, and then they sold it to the Middle East, probably based on a kleptocracy as well. And to my knowledge, I don't think any country is saying, hey, we're not going to play in Qatar, you know, in November when the World Cup's going on. And, you know, you may not like it, but if you're an individual country or you're an individual player, it's not like you choose where FIFA sells the World Cup. Or if you're a television network, it's not like you choose where the World Cup takes place. So I don't really understand. I mean, look, we just had the freaking Winter Olympics in Beijing. And China's a totalitarian country with actual concentration camps for Muslim minorities. And nobody really complained about that in terms of what's going on. You know, Saudi Arabia, to my knowledge, has as much or more democracy, certainly, than China.
All right, he is Clay Travis. Go follow him at Clay Travis. Read him at OutKick. Thank you, Clay. Have a great week.
Hey, appreciate y'all having me.
All right, take care. Clay with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline. History of the show. Don't know if you noticed, but Clay went both Qatar and Qatar in that one answer.
That's
there.
A very Dunaway move.
You that's right. Say
pronounce
both.
It both ways.
You can only be wrong
and
once.
You're right 50% of the time, which gets you into the Baseball Hall of Fame.